So grateful for Jesus, and the songs we've sung point us to Him. And Lord, now we're going to open Your Word, which points us to Him. And Lord, we want to take these words seriously. We want to take them to heart because they're His words. So help us now as we proclaim that Jesus is the way. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, worship team. Let's turn in our Bibles to John 14. And if you're new with us, we're just walking through the Gospel of John. We're taking our time. We're not in a big hurry. Such a sweet book that we could just stay here for, well, we could come back to it again and again. So we're in Passion Week, the week just prior to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We've seen Jesus wash the disciples' feet in John chapter 13. Wonderful chapter as he gives us an example, also points to His character and how He's going to actually ultimately serve us on the cross. Well, it's also, chapter 13 is a sad chapter because Jesus also prophesies that one of them will betray Him, the Judas will betray him, and then Peter will actually deny Him three times. So it's a very troubling time. Last week we studied the first three verses of chapter 14, and so let's go ahead and look at those since that's really short. John 14, verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to where Myself, that where I am, you may also be." So even facing trouble, we don't have to despair or doubt. Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. He's not saying don't let your hearts be sad. That's going to happen. Don't ever grieve. He's not saying that. He's saying that in all our situations, don't let your heart doubt Me. Trust Me, Jesus is saying. We find comfort in Jesus' counsel to not let our hearts be troubled. But we trust God. We trust Him. We trust His preparation. He says He's going to go and prepare a reserved, held place for every believer. And we find counsel in His promises to come back for us. We find comfort there. He's going to come back and get us that prepared place, so we long for His return. John Piper summarized this message this way: don't let unholy turmoil rise in your heart. Unholy turmoil. You're going to grieve. You're going to be anxious. You're going to be happy. You're going to be all sorts of things. Maybe mad. Don't let unholy turmoil come in your heart. In other words, trust God with it. Trust Jesus. Part of what was troubling the disciples was the fact that Jesus was telling them He was leaving them. Are you serious? They've left their nets. They've left their tax collecting business. They've left everything to follow Jesus for 3 years, and He keeps telling them He's leaving them and they can't follow. Wait, we'll see in a moment that Thomas says, "We don't know where you're going." He's going to interrupt Jesus. We're going to see in this week and next week, three interruptions from His disciples. First one, Thomas. Then later today, you're going to see Philip interject and ask a question. And then next week, Judas, not Iscariot, is going to interrupt and ask a question. And every time, Jesus is going to say, "I'm the answer. I'm the answer to your question." Jesus makes seven I am statements in John. We've seen five. "I am the bread of life," John 6. "I am the light of the world," John 8. "I am the door of the sheep," John 10. "I am the resurrection and the life," John 11. "I am the good shepherd," John 10. The last one we'll see in a few weeks, "I am the true vine," John 15:5. So today we're looking at the sixth I am statement. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So in answer to Thomas's admission that they didn't know where he was going or how he was going to get there, Jesus says, I am the way. I'm the way. So let's look at three things about the way this morning, and that's where your outline begins. Number one, the way is a person. Look at verse 4. And you know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Where I'm going, you cannot come. In verse 36, we have this exchange with Simon Peter, who said, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, where I'm going, you cannot follow me, but you will afterwards. In John 13, verse 33, Jesus said, little children, I'm with you for a while. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. So Jesus is going somewhere. He keeps telling them that. They don't know where he's going. Of course, by the way, he's been telling them the whole time. I must go to Jerusalem. I must be handed over to wicked men. I must be crucified. And then Peter would say, you'll never die that way. And Jesus would say, get behind me. So he's telling them where he's going, but it's not clicking. Now, keep in mind, this is before the cross, the burial, the resurrection, before the Holy Spirit's come at Pentecost. They don't have a full understanding. But in verse 4, he says it matter-of-factly, and you know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas says, we also know him as Doubting Thomas. I love the guy. He speaks for the group and says, Lord, we do not know you are going. How can we know the way? So, hey, I can find my way. I can find the way anywhere if I know the address. You know what I do, right? I get my phone out, Google Maps. My wife has a fancy car. It does it on the console. That's great. On Google Maps, I say, here's the address, and then it gives me the way. They said, we don't even know the address, let alone the way. Could we at least have the address of where you're going? Jesus states his famous answer, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thomas, I am the way. The way is a person. The way is Jesus. Let's take just a moment to break down what he says, this triad he breaks out. And notice one simple word, the word the. He doesn't use an a. So in other words, he's the way, not a way. Okay? That's important. So let's talk about that. Number one, he says he's the way. Jesus is the way to heaven. This is stated in other places in Scripture. In fact, early on when the church was born, those who followed Jesus were called followers of what? The way, followers of the way. This is what it says in Acts chapter 24, verse 14. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, group of Christians, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written as in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. So the followers of the way, the followers of Jesus, were known as followers of the way. They were following the way. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the truth in the flesh, revealing God. John 1, which we saw months ago. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. God's message, His Word, was completely revealed in Jesus. John 1:17 says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus Christ. So God gave his word, his law through Moses. Find that in the Bible. But when Jesus came, he fulfilled all of that and brought grace and truth. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, He is the source of eternal life and everything we have. John 1, 3 through 4 says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made. In him was life, and the life was under the light of men. R.C. Sproul writes, the statement is in an elliptical form. So Jesus was actually saying, I am the way because I am the truth, because I am the life. I am the way because I am the truth and I am the life. I am the way to the Father because I am the true manifestation or revelation of the Father. I am the way to the Father because I alone have the power of eternal life. So at the beginning of the service, and not, maybe not everybody heard it, I read from Psalm 24, and there's this question that's sort of haunting, like, who can climb up the holy hill of the Lord? And of course, we're told anyone with clean hands can do that. And I submit to you that Jesus answers that question. Who can climb the hill of the Lord? Who has clean hands? Who is perfect? Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? The one with clean hands and a pure heart. Verse 9 goes on, lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. So foresees the day when the King of glory will come. And he does ascend the hill of Calvary. Stretch out those pure hands for you and me. And then makes a way because he gives you his righteousness for your unrighteousness. So now you can ascend the hill of the Lord by way of Jesus. The way is a person. Second, the way is the only way. Look at verse 6b, the second half of B. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. He's standing right in front of you. So, verse 6, by our cultural standards of pluralism, this is one of the most controversial statements in the Bible. Right? Jesus says, he is the way, the truth, the life, and no one can come to God the Father except through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Here's a landmine. Nobody, for effect, I'll say it one more time, right? Nobody comes to God except through Jesus. Andreas Kostenberger writes, Jesus' claim of himself being the way is as timely today as it was when our Lord first uttered the statement. For in an age of religious pluralism, Christianity's exclusive claims are considered inappropriately narrow, even intolerant. And pluralism itself has ironically become the standard by which all truth is judged. So if you're not pluralistic, your truth is out. Our culture says that Jesus claimed to be the only exclusive way to the Father is arrogant. Listen, first of all, I want to say one thing. These aren't my words. These aren't the church's words. These aren't a bunch of churches who got together and they created these words. These are the words of Jesus. And so culture says, well, that's arrogant. Well, Sinclair Ferguson says the arrogance might be on the other foot. And he imagines, and I'll try to tell it and read some of it. He imagines a skeptic before the throne of the Father. And there's a conversation. It's imaginary. Follow, if you don't mind. The Father might say, by what way do you expect to come into my heavenly presence? And the skeptic says, I found my own way here. My son told everyone that he was the way and the only way, and no one could come to me, the father says, except through the son. The skeptic says, I knew he said that, but it was just really too narrow and simplistic and exclusive for my taste, so I found another way. The father might say, I sent my son to be sacrificed on the cross. I laid the sins of the world on him and poured out the righteous wrath of heaven upon him, and even heard him cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And if you think I could do it any other way, I would have done it. But sacrifice my son. My son prayed, Father, if it's possible, let there be another way to bring them to heaven apart from the cross. Please let this cup be taken from me. But I said to him, my son, there is no other way. Their hope is if you drink the cup and bear the judgment against their sin. There is no other way. Do you think that if there had been another way, I certainly would have found it? Why have you despised my son so? The skeptic says, I found my own way. The father says, yes, you've arrived at judgment, and you are on the way that leads to destruction. So, listen. I know that culture wants to say our way is arrogant. Listen, the fact that there is a way is unbelievable. You know how the difference, the gap between God and us, the God of heaven who made everything, and our sin, our best deeds are filthy compared to Almighty God. The fact that there is a way ought to just bring us to some humble acceptance. I can't do it. It's beyond me. I accept the cross that Jesus died for my sin, and I give my life to him to do whatever he calls me to do. That's actually a very humble way. Or an arrogant way would be to say, I'll do it my way. Thanks for the terms. But I'll do it my way. First Timothy 2, 5 and 6 says, For there's one God and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. There's one mediator, the man, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The way is a person, the way is the only way, and the way is one with the Father. Look at verse 8. Now, keep in mind, verse 7, Jesus says, you've seen the Father because you're looking at him. Verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. That's enough for us. And Jesus said, Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father's in me, or else believe on the account of the works themselves. So, Jesus responded to Thomas in our previous verse, saying he's the way to the Father. And then if you know Jesus, you know the Father. And then his disciple says, show me the Father. Show us the Father. After Jesus just said, you've seen the Father. I'm not sure Jesus is exasperated or not here, and I don't even know if exasperation is a sin. If Jesus is exasperated, he's exasperated without sin. Read the rest of it. Philip, how long have I been with you, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And so Philip, by asking the question, show us the Father, was actually confessing that he didn't know Jesus that well. Now keep in mind, it's for the cross, resurrection, Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't know Jesus as well as he thought he did. He says, if you know me, you know the Father. Show us the Father. You're looking at the Father. In verse 10, he says, Do you not believe that I am the Father? I'm in the Father. The Father's in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Go back to John 12, verse 49. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me, he himself has given me a new commandment, what to say and what to speak, and know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say is what the Father has told me. So what Jesus wants his disciples to know, wants us to know, that when Jesus speaks, he's speaking the words of the Father. And so they're in communion with one another. They're in the long extended prayer sessions, and the Father actually speaks through the Son. He is the Word made flesh. He speaks the words of the Father. The second half of verse 10 says, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. The second half of verse 11 says, or else believe in me because of the works themselves. Why believe in Jesus? Well, just look at all the work he did. That's the work of the Father. All the miracles he did, the work of the Father. The greatest miracle yet to come, the resurrection, will be a work of the Father. So you want to get to the Father? See what the Father has done through Jesus. And what Jesus wants his disciples and us to know, that he and the Father are doing the same thing. What Jesus does is what the Father does. Verse 11 says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Do you hear the unity in that? I am in the Father, the Father is in me. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Jesus wants the disciples and us to know that he and the Father are one. He said the same thing explicitly in John 10. Verse 30, I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up stones immediately to stone him. Jesus answered, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of the miracles are you going to kill me? The Jews answered him, it's not for a good work that we're going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. So what Jesus wants us to know, what the disciples wanted to know, is the Father and he are one. So Jesus is clearly telling us why he's the only way to the Father. He shows us the Father. He speaks the words of the Father. He does the work of the Father. And he's one with the Father. Who could better lead us to the Father than the one who knows him intimately, reflects him perfectly, speaks his words, does his work, has unity with the Father? Who could best lead us to the Father? The way is a person. The way is the only way. And the way is one with the Father. So, I believe there's comfort in these words. If you're a sinner, that puts all of us in that camp, by the way. And you realize your destination, the separation you and I both had from the Father, from the God who created everything. How in the world can I possibly ascend the hill of the Lord? Where's the way? What's the way? Well, the comfort is we can't do it. We can quit striving to do it. And we can accept the one who is qualified and did it. He stretched out his pure hands that we might be given purity, his purity, that we might ascend the hill of the Lord. So have you accepted the person Jesus as the way for your salvation? There's no other way. Stop trying. And just to humbly accept what Jesus did for you. Have you humbly embraced the cross for payment of your sin and resurrection to find your new spiritual birth? It's a work of God. It's not a work of us. And can you trust the words of Jesus in every situation as they are the words of the Father? So again, in this troubled time the disciples were having, you say, I'm speaking the words. I'm doing the work. Trust me. Can you trust the words of Jesus for every situation in this life and allow him to work in your life? John Piper paraphrases this by saying this. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, and as I go, I become the way that you get there. I am the truth that you hold on to get there. And I am the life, the eternal life that you will enjoy when you get there. When I say I go to prepare a place for you, I mean I open the way for you to possibly get there. By going to the cross, I open the way. I confirm the truth. I am the truth. I purchase the life. I am the life. Jesus is truly the way, the truth, and the life. I am so grateful there is a way to forgiveness and to eternal life. That way is a person. The way is Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you so much for the words that Jesus spoke. We are just repeating them. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Lord, we first have to humbly embrace Jesus. What a humble position to recognize there's nothing good in me that gets me to heaven. There's no philosophy. There's no charitable work ethic. There's no amount of money I can give. It's so humble to say all my striving is in vain. I have to accept the work of Jesus on the cross, who makes a way and is the way to you. Father, I pray if there's just one person here today who's not given their life to the way of eternal life, the way of Jesus, I pray that today they would just say, yes, I've been too arrogant, assuming I could do it on my own, or there might be another way. I need to humbly submit to the cross of Calvary. Lord, draw them by your Spirit. Lord, give us a desire to interact with our neighbors and our culture. And we don't want to come across as being better than anybody because we're not. So that would be wrong. But we can tell them that Jesus comes as God in the flesh to show us you, to speak your words, to do your work, to die on the cross, to make a way that was not there. And now there is a bridge from here to heaven created at Calvary. And Lord, when situations come that we don't understand, and they come regularly to somebody in this body, may we trust Jesus' words to not despair, not to doubt, but to give our hearts to you, to trust you with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge you, and we just trust you'll guide our troubled hearts, make our paths straight. So help us now as we sing this last song and respond in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you've heard the message. Let's stand, and you respond as the Lord leads you.